Something Paranormal. Para X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Gathering Radio Show on the Para X Radio Network. This is Stephanie.
And this is Heidi, and we're happy to be here on, what is it, Steph?
It is a Trailblazing Tuesday.
Nice.
The reason for that is because our guest is such a trailblazer in cryptid research. So
absolutely.
That's why we're calling it that.
Be a good show tonight.
So how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Good. After a crazy, two long travel days for 3 days on the island, but it's fabulous.
Yeah, I saw your video that you sent me.
Oh, gosh. The whales. Can you believe it? We saw them both days, all day. We did we call the West Side Shuffle. So, we start out at like Eagle Cove, and then we go to Lamb Bank, and then we go up to the county park, because we just kind of follow them all up and down the island. So, yeah, it was super fun. We saw the babies. It was just amazing. We saw a couple humpbacks chasing the orcas. They weren't chasing, but I think they go in after the orcas because they go for the fish that the orcas have stirred up,
Yeah.
But
pick up the pieces.
It was fun. It was fun. The first day we were there on Friday, it was crazy, windy, stormy, gale force winds. It was the most intense, phenomenal thing I've ever experienced out there. We went down to South Beach, and I stood out there right at the tide line, and it was high tide, and man, that tide was so up so far, and that those waves were, 6 feet high. That energy was just, oh my God, it was intoxicating and exhilarating, and oh my God, just wild, huge energy, and I just was just so mesmerized, I stood out there for a long time, and then Casey was in the car. She'd had enough. She didn't want to get me more wet. And I went back in the car, and we went back again. And she said, Mom, you would just sit out there all day. I said, I would, because it's just so, so amazing, So, yeah, it was just a fabulous weekend all the way around.
Good.
And then the weather cleared up a little bit on Saturday and Sunday. So it was beautiful sunshine and awesome.
Good. Yeah, it looked nice.
Yes. It was really fun. So did you have a good weekend, too?
I did. It was pretty quiet around the house, and it was good. I know it's my last weekend before all the festivities of fall,
mm-hmm.
and so I won't have a weekend off until November, which is fine because I plan it that way. It's not like it's someone else's schedule that's given to me. So, so it was good, and It was very good. It was very chill. And I think this was a reminder. It wasn't planned to be that way. It ended up being that way because I had to shuffle some things around. But I think it was the universe's way of saying, you better be more mindful mm-hmm. going forward when you get into the fall season because it's so busy. I'm just absolutely swamped.
Yep.
And when I have a day off, I don't really have a day off because if I'm at home, I'm working.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a computer at the studio. And so I work from home on my days off. So I really don't have a day off ever. And when you have your own business, it's really hard to have days off. And so I think this was the universe's reminder, like, hey, before you go into fall, so you don't burn yourself out, take a few days off together where you're not doing much. Now, I did do a couple of sessions from home and all that. But, you know, they're like, take a few days off before you go into this fall season because you're going to go nuts. You're going to burn yourself out. And I've done that before. That and it's not cool. So anyway, so yeah. That was my weekend. So anyway, that was my weekend.
Yeah. So anyway, I hear Katie Elizabeth. So we're just going
to,
I guess,
yeah,
we'll
I'm
just
like,
introduce
okay,
her.
I guess
so
she
Katie,
wants to get started.
Welcome to the gathering. Welcome to Girl Talk, oh I guess, God. Right? How are you? I know you've been crazy busy too. My God, between the three of us, I don't know. You know, it's crazy.
I know. I was just like, holy crap. You guys called and then the phone hung up and I was like, oh no.
Oh, is that what happened? Oh, I wondered. I saw what, you know, I saw something. So. Yeah, no, we were just saying how, you know, we both had kind of a restful weekend. I was traveling, but it was a good travel and we had no timelines or appointments or things to do. So, yes, we spent the whole weekend doing what we wanted to do, which was fabulous, you know, and now starts the busy season.
You have to have a girl's weekend.
Yes, yes, yes. And now we have the crazy fall season. So, yeah, I'm pretty much busy every weekend from now until who knows when, you know.
I so, never have girls weekend. It's always me and me. I'm like, what the hell's going on? Like, I'm by myself.
Oh yeah. Oh well, we need to come out there, Katie, and we need to go out on that lake with you.
you girls would have so much fun. It would be a blast. I mean, I have the research boat and I just love having the girls team. Because as you know, in the cryptozoology world, it's very far, few in between.
Yes, yes, that is very true. And I don't know if you heard, because we got kind of cut off a little bit, but we called today's show the Trailblazing Tuesday for you, because you're such a trailblazer in the cryptid research world, you know, with your lake monster research. So, yay, Katie!
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. It's just, it's so hard. My field is like, As you girls know, it's like, what the heck? Like, we're the only people out there doing the research and being girls is tough. I mean, I'm not trying to be sexist. You know, there was one person that commented on my post and he said, well, that's all sexist. And I said, absolutely not. It's just the point of the matter where there's no, I mean, all right, how about this? Name 12 girls that research cryptids, that actually get to speak at a conference. Please tell me 12 girls or no answer.
Yeah, right? I know. It's such a men's club. It really is. There are so few of us out there that it's just, it's ridiculous, you know? So anyway, you have been really busy this year. You have had so much going on and you've been on, you know, you've been on the, it was the Travel Channel or Discovery? I can't remember now. But
It was the Travel Channel, the Science Channel was last year. I get so confused. Mm-hmm. I think it was the History Channel. I get all those. I was with Josh Gating that did that show, and I did the show with Paranormal Declassified. That was another program. I think that was on the Travel Channel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've just been getting so much exposure, which is so phenomenal. We love that. Can I just say?
Oh, thanks.
we'd love to hear and have you share with our listeners just what you've been working on this year. And for those of you, you know, that also want to follow, I think you have a pretty active social media page too that they can follow along. But if they don't, we'd love to hear what you've been working on this year, because we know you've had a big year.
So basically I have my Champ Search page, which is on Facebook. You type in Champ Search. And then I also have my cryptozoology page, Katie Elizabeth, cryptozoologist. And then I also have another page. There's a few, Unclassified Films, which is my new aspect on cryptozoology and bringing out the aspect of science into, say, aliens or lake monster research or Bigfoot. So I have those pages, and I really worked hard with bringing the aspect about science into the realm, because there's so much about, you know, everybody wants to put out all this stuff about, oh yeah, this glorification, da 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 da. I'm all about science. Mm-hmm. And that's my love. I love science, and I love to bring out the aspects of science into this field. With doing CHAMP research, I've gathered many pieces of evidence, echolocation, which is biosonar. I've also gotten videos, and I have also gotten videos as well. So it's like there's so much more to CHAMP, America's Loch Ness Monster, that people do not realize. And it's not this 100-foot-long creature. It's not this huge thing. It's this 15 to 20-foot-long animal. Multiply that by 120 miles more of lake. So there's a huge difference in what people think CHAMP is and what is CHAMP. CHAMP is meant to be, basically. I'm really, how would I put this? Since I was 7 years old, I had this aspect of what I wanted to do in my life. And I never thought in a million years it would be this way.
Yeah, and that's awesome.
Yeah, isn't it awesome that it is this way as well?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Living the dream.
Mm-hmm. I mean, who would have thought that I would be doing all this stuff either? I mean, let's face it, you know, it's kind of crazy. So, for sure. So what kinds of things, new things have you found this year? I know you have some kind of new equipment. You know, you have like a projector or something that walks along the bottom of the lake, right?
Yeah, we have a new piece of equipment, which is an ROV, a remote operated vehicle, and that goes down to 325 feet. And I mean, the bottom of Lake Champlain is really murky, so we have a lot of issues with seeing the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
But listening with the hydrophone, doing that with visual, and also, you know, basically looking at the surface and seeing what we can see, we have three pieces that we can go by. So you add all those in together. I mean, we have a great team. I'm so fortunate to have gotten the echolocation, the sonar, the videos mm-hmm. all together on myself. And I have a great team that's part of it. They're great people. And they know about all this stuff. And I'm just so happy that I've been blessed with all of that. So we have visual, audio, and also visual underneath the water. Mm-hmm. And I think the most important thing, too, is to put into aspect that we're out there every day. A lot of people grow up here on Lake Champlain, they don't see anything, which I understand. But we're out here every single day, and we put our heart into it, and we put our love into it. And mm-hmm. that's why we've been fortunate. I mean, before I met my research partners, I really didn't know what to think. I'm like, I just don't know what I'm going to see. I don't think I'm going to see anything. But I did, because of my heart and my love and what I do. I really truly think if you put all of your heart into what you do, it's going to come out great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do too. So Trost, you know, Jason Trost, by the way, Katie Elizabeth, he's in the chat room listening.
He's a great guy. I'm so happy to have met him. And he had a great, great, title for my documentary trailer. And I selected him to say, hey, this is the documentary trailer, the name of it, and ta-da.
I know. And he's in the chat room, and he wants to know why the water is so murky there in Lake Champlain.
That's a great question. The reason why the water is so murky here in Lake Champlain is because we have something called blue-green algae. Blue-green algae is something that comes in from the heat. And the heat comes in and it starts turning green. We have terrible, terrible amounts of sewage getting into Lake Champlain. So that sewage grows on the blue-green algae. And there's people in my area that just don't care about it.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say that, but it's true. It's all about politics. There's this blue-green algae that comes in. The sewage feeds into that. I mean, wouldn't you think if this is our drinking water that somebody would say something?
Yeah, well, you would think.
There's nothing to do with that, and it's very sad. And that's why I'm a big advocate about Lake Champlain, about the health of our lake and getting everything cleaned up. I mean, I pick up literally probably per week 10 garbage bags. I mean, huge contractor bags. I pick them up every week.
Out of the lake?
And on the lake. And that's all along the shoreline. I fish all the time. I'm basically like a female Jeremy Wade.
I love it.
I fish all the time. And I see this all the time, and I see garbage and these little things full of worms, and I dump the worms out and I put the whole container into my bag, and you wouldn't believe the magnitude of garbage. It's absolutely insane. And that's why our lake is so green, because of nobody caring anymore. And it makes me cry. It makes me cry because there's no reason for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do have some of those issues here in Minnesota as well with the blue-green algae. I don't know so much about the garbage that I've seen anyhow, but it may be there. But that, yeah, I mean, people just need to, it's like the sea, right? There's so much plastic and stuff in the sea. It's awful. It's just awful, you know, because people don't care. They just throw it. So, okay. There's a couple of things here in the chat room.
We have a question from Trost again. He was asking, what's the largest animal in the lake other than Champ?
Great question. We have Atlantic sturgeon that are here in Lake Champlain. They're pretty massive. They get up to about 7 feet at the most. Usual size, about 4 to 5 feet. I'm an angler here on Lake Champlain. I catch fish all the time. I've never caught a sturgeon. That would be fun. I'm like the Jeremy Waite girl. I would love to capture a huge fish. Never have, but there's lake sturgeon here that can reach 4 to 5 feet. But with Champ, you can see the movement in my video that I've captured. You can see the everything. There's no comparison. There's something here. I know that there's something here, but they're not lake sturgeon. But there is lake sturgeon here. They're supposed to be endangered, but how do I put it? They're not in big numbers. They're not in big numbers. Because if they were, we'd see them all the time.
Yeah, right.
Do you think that some people do get them confused with the lake monster?
Oh, I'm sure. Absolutely sure. Yeah. I do. I believe that. I mean, for someone to see something in the water and see something strange, oh, sure. They're going to see something coming up with some bumps on their back and whatnot. I grew up in the ocean state. I've seen a lot of stuff. And I've seen sturgeon. They can be quite creepy.
Mm-hmm.
So I can totally understand if someone saw a sturgeon that would say, oh, that's Champ. Totally get it.
Totally get it.
But I mean, looking at the video that I have, the echolocation, the sonar, there's no damn way. I was going to say goddamn way. There's no goddamn way. There's no goddamn way that you can compare that to a sturgeon. I mean, these animals, what I have in my sonar, are at least 25 to 30 feet in length. And that's a huge animal. There is no way they're the same.
And sturgeons get big, but they don't get that big.
No, And no, I do believe that people see that. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as a fisherman, as a fisherwoman, I've seen sturgeon quite often, and they really can mess up your head. Like, okay, I don't know what I'm seeing. I totally get that. If someone has never seen something like that on Lake Champlain or something in a fresh body of water, you know, I grew up on the ocean. I've seen some big stuff.
Right. Right. So do you think these massive sturgeon might be the largest animals in the lake? Well, they're not animals, they're fish, but the largest creatures in the lake other than champ and the champies?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yep, I do. I think that, you know, I've gotten some stuff on sonar with eels. Eels grow to be a large size. I've gotten some pretty big eels on sonar, and they're hanging vertical, like upside down. And then I have to say, I would say the biggest one I saw was 10 feet.
Wow.
That's pretty big.
Wow. Yeah.
And they're hanging upside down. So I'm like, okay, there has to be something out here that large to be that size and to be that magnitude and that shape. I would say that I truly believe that there is eels out here that are very, very big. I would say probably 10 and 12 feet.
What?
But I don't believe that they get much larger than that.
An eel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Isn't that crazy? Lake eels. Yeah.
Yeah. This is why I don't swim when I can't see through the water.
Have you girls ever seen the episode with Jeremy Wade where he had that thing sucking on his neck?
No. Probably. I've watched a lot of his shows. I probably have the guy as like outer limits. I would not do 99% of the things that he does.
Oh my God. So there was like, just tell you real quick, there was this one episode where this thing's hanging off his neck and I'm like, what the hell? And I get a report. Basically a couple weeks ago, and this girl is a friend of mine. Well, she's a friend through a friend. Very, very smart, very intelligent. I'm going to tell you right now, she tells you something, she'll tell you, F you, I know what I saw.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she had this thing happen where she saw this black thing go across the road. And I was like, okay, well, tell me more. And I started to laugh because I knew that she was telling the truth because I've heard it probably 5 times in my whole time of researching CHAMP. And I said, did it move like this? And she was, and I'm gonna swear, you might want to cut this out, but I said, how the fuck did you know? I said, because I know what people have told me.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh my God, I can't believe that you actually said that. You knew the whole motion of the animal. You knew everything. I'm like, exactly. It's not that I'm making this crap up. It's just that I know what you saw. Because I had like 5-6 people tell me the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. And I went to the spot. And I'd been there before. And I fished there. I've fished there many times before. And I sat there. And when I was fishing at the time, I get the eeriest feeling in the world. And I said, there's something here. And I just knew it. Mm-hmm. And she goes, how did you know? How did you know? I'm like, girl, I'm going to tell you what. I've had probably 10 different people tell me about your sighting. Not that you knew it. She goes, how the hell did they know? I'm like, no, they didn't know it. But I heard the same thing.
Yeah.
And she was just totally amazed. And she didn't know what to do. I'm like, girl, I believe you. Because I know what people have seen across the same type of road, the same circumstance, the same time of day. I mean, it was like 4:30 in the morning. It was damp. She had the same exact report. And I was just like, holy crap.
Yeah.
I cried because I knew that what she saw was legit. She wasn't making this up. And where she came from, her family, they're very, very, how do I put it? They tell the way it is.
Yeah.
They don't care. They'll say F you.
Yeah.
That's the way their family is. They're great people. They're very smart. And they're very, very proud of what they say. And I knew when she told me, I said, oh my God, her dad told me. Mm-hmm. And I said, whoa. As soon as he told me, I knew that it was legit. Because the whole family, they've seen stuff in their swamp about 5 miles down the road.
Well, so are you thinking this is the champ creatures that walk? Because you told us that they come out of the lake and they walk around through the marshes at night, correct?
Yeah, I here's where I'm torn. I do believe it might be a cub champ, but I'm kind of torn in a way because I don't know exactly if it's champ. Mm-hmm. Like, it might be something kind of ran off from the species, or I can't be certain. I can't be certain. But mm-hmm. there's something into that effect that I believe that it's probably along the same lines. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say, so to speak, that it's the same animal.
Right.
But I don't know. There's a lot of circumstances that make me believe that it might be. It might be.
Mm-hmm.
But I might be wrong. You know?
Right.
I right. don't know. I really respect whatever they are. I don't know what they are, but it's a strange circumstance. I have no clue. I have no clue.
Now, and did you say that you've seen them too?
Yeah, back in 2012, I had my first sighting of a champ animal, which was out in Button Bay. And I saw something, and I grew up on the water, and I said, you know what? I've never seen anything like this before. But I didn't really know for sure. But I got video in 2014, and what this girl saw on the road was very similar, except I couldn't see any appendages. There was no appendages, nothing. So that's the only difference that we have in perspective of time and what we're seeing. I didn't see any bottom half of the animal. She did. She said there was nothing on the bottom. I did see the water and stuff. I didn't see any appendages. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if we saw the same animal, but they're very similar. So there could be, you know, this snake-like thing or whatever. I don't know. I really don't know what to tell you. There could be two species in Lake Champlain that we do not know about.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I was thinking of, you know, that's just because it's a little bit different, but, you know what, we are at the half hour. So Katie, we're going to go to commercial break and then we'll continue the conversation. But this is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para X Radio Network.
For the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hey Heidi, have you listened to The Calling lately?
Why, yes, Steph, I have. It's really good. Have you?
Absolutely. It's what I would say is a wild and woolly affair.
So does that mean it's a wild and woolly Wednesday show?
Well, I definitely think that that's true.
So you know we listen, since The Calling is the sibling show to our show, The Gathering.
Listen to The Calling Radio Show with Jerry, Willow, and Kimberly Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Welcome back to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network. And we have Katie Elizabeth with us, who is a female cryptozoologist, champ researcher, and we're hearing all sorts of good stuff tonight from her and some of her sightings. And thank you so much, Katie, for being on tonight. Glad to have you here.
Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. We have a question that came through in the chat room before we went on break, and I want to make sure we get to it before it gets too far back there and I can't find it anymore. But Trost is wondering, is champ cold-blooded?
My belief in what I do for research, I basically go on the lake every single day and I record the water temperature. So the sightings seem to fall in between 50 degrees Fahrenheit and 80 degrees Fahrenheit. So they seem to pop up within those times. And basically as an ectotherm, which I believe they are, turtles, frogs, ectotherms seem to fall in that region.
Okay. Cool. So is that why, because you're in, I mean, further north in the country, which it gets cold there, right? So what do you
think? Yeah.
So what happens in the winter then, do you think?
In the wintertime, our turtles here in the Lake Champlain region, they go down to approximately, I would say, 50 degrees and lower, and they bury themselves in the mud. So they go down the bottom, and they bury themselves in the mud. And they're basically a torpor. So they're in a torpor-like state, and they just kind of fling along and all that. But their heart rate goes down to less than one beat per minute.
Wow.
So they don't eat the whole time. They don't do anything. They're basically torpor. And I believe that's what the champ animals do as well.
So do they breathe? So turtles breathe though, right? So don't they breathe all winter long? I always wonder that.
They do in a way. They have a little piece behind their butt. And actually they breathe beneath their butt. It's called, they have like this respiratory breathing. And they breathe beneath their butt. So I think champ does the same thing. Or they're amphibious, they breathe through their skin. So these animals with the turtles, they breathe beneath their butt and they have a respiratory cloaca. So they breathe through this little vent beneath their butt. It sounds kind of creepy, but it's true.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's what they do.
So go ahead.
But they don't have to be up in the air, right? So they obviously aren't surfacing because, you know, the lake's frozen over probably. I mean, if Minnesota is home to a bajillion turtles.
Girls that were down in Minnesota, and I normally fish on the lake when it's solid. But the animals breathe beneath their butt, and they have this thing, which is a respiratory cloaca, where they kind of breathe in through their butt, and they get this vent. It's so weird. It's really weird, but that's the way they breathe.
So they breathe like the water, and then they get the oxygen out of that. Is that what you're saying,
Kenny? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Got it. Okay, so you think the champ probably does the same thing then?
I'm sure. And also, I think that they might have respiratory means through their skin. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
If we don't know.
We'd be all experts, you know?
Right. Yeah. That's so interesting. It really is.
So I'm curious what you think of the idea, because this is one of the things that I believe about Sasquatch, is that they're interdimensional, and that's why we have such a hard time finding them, because they're not here all the time. So what do you think about that in regards to champ?
That's interesting, because I just got offered a television show that asked me about what I think about that aspect. So I'll give you my theory. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm friends with Nick Redfern, who's all into the UFO stuff, and he knows about Loch Ness Monster and whatnot. So I'll give you my theory. I don't believe that these animals are basically, you know, I don't think that they're biological. Mm-hmm. I know that they're biological, but there's something else that involved them. The Native Americans also called them the horned serpents. Mm-hmm. And they said that the horned serpents are here to protect Lake Champlain. And I really, truly believe that. There is something else here. I don't believe that they're just biological, but I do believe that there's something that protects them. And with me, with my, it might sound crazy or nuts or whatever, it's okay. I really believe that with my circumstance and my heart, I really want the best for them. And it's almost like I've had the best luck. And for some reason, that comes into play. And I really, truly believe that no matter what the circumstance, there's something here that protects Champ and protects me, too. And I have really seen it a bunch of times. I don't know why. I have no idea. But there's something that protects Champ. And I'm just telling you right now, there's something more to Champ than meets the eye.
Than just the physical being. And now when we talk about Champ, I just think we need to make it clear that Champ is probably not just one solitary animal, that it's a whole group of population of these creatures, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I have video of multiple animals. There's more than one. I would say in one video, I have four. Mm-hmm. So there's more than one. I'm just so proud to say that I'm the mom of the Champ.
Yeah.
I want to protect them. I mean, I really do. And people, you know, there was a guy with Bigfoot, as you guys probably know, girls, sorry. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, Grover Grant.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, we have to kill one to prove one.
Yeah, isn't that ridiculous? Yeah.
And that's not the case with me. I'm like, okay, this is what I have. We have to, probably push the little expanse beyond, but I don't want to kill one.
No.
I wrote a law to protect Champ, and that was passed by New York State.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is awesome.
I'm so happy and proud of that because not many people could say that.
Not many. Hardly. I don't even know if there's one more, Katie. I think you might be the only one. And that's totally so awesome. But yeah, so there's more than one. There's, you know, like there's obviously more than one Sasquatch. And, you know, we know there's lake monsters right here in Minnesota, right? Lake Pepin has Pepe. And
I have to come up to you guys and like see that stuff because that would be so amazing.
Yes, you do. Because we always say squatchers, you know, we're always out in the woods and we always say we're going to get down to that lake and look for the lake monster, but we just really haven't. And if we're close by, of course, we're always looking out on the lake. But we haven't actually went down there, gotten a boat, and went out there and did a little research. You know what I mean? So I think it would take you coming up here to get us going.
That would be so much fun.
Wouldn't it, though? Oh, gosh. You could show us
and
what to do.
Hide your phone in and do all that stuff. That would be amazing.
Mm-hmm. And so they're kind of like, my point is like, they're kind of like all over the states too, you know, like Trost is saying, you know, they have Kinzonessie in there in Pennsylvania. And there's, you know, they say there's one up in like, there's one in each of the Great Lakes from what I understand, you know? So they're kind of like everywhere people have seen these creatures, you know? It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, here's what I would like to do. Our theory in this aspect is go to Loch Ness and just go there and record. Mm-hmm. If we get something that's similar to Champ, we're going to take that and then put that all over and then go to, say, Lake Erie or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And if we get all the same, say we get all the same, that's going to indicate that we are dealing with the same species.
Yes. Yes. Wouldn't that be interesting? That would just be so phenomenal, you know?
Totally.
You know, I was reading on your Facebook just the other day, you were talking about an eyewitness. Now, you were talking about witnesses that saw these creatures going across the road. Were you talking about her? Because you have a video coming out soon about this eyewitness account of this creature crawling across the road that was definitely not a snake, but it was almost like it was trying to walk, but it didn't really have legs or something, right?
Yeah, I'm working on that right now.
Yeah. So that's...
Yeah, I saw that too on your page, and I was like, where's this video?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. I'm working on it now, so you'll get that pretty soon.
Yeah, that sounds really fascinating. So for all of you out there, if you go to Katie's page, her Facebook page, she talks about an eyewitness that came to her with this sighting, and it sounds really phenomenal. And so Katie's doing a video, which will be out in the next week, maybe, Katie? I don't know. Videos take a long time.
Yeah, probably only 5 days or something.
Yep. And so they're going to talk about it, but wow, very intriguing. And are you thinking that that particular thing might be a baby lake monster? Because I know we've talked about this before.
Yeah, it might be. I mean, I'm kind of intrigued by what it might be. I mean, there's been many reports over in New York that have been the snake-like thing same time. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what they are, but I kind of believe in the paranormal aspect. There might be something more than just champ in the lake. I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't like to dabble outside, but I really do believe that there's something more to this than just champ.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be champ, but there might be something else. We don't know.
Well,
I mean, you're dealing with a lake that went into the Champlain Sea 10 to 12,000 years ago. So, I mean, who knows what the hell's in that lake?
Well, exactly. And we're talking cryptozoology, right? So all these are hidden things that haven't been proven yet. So anything's possible. Anything's possible. The movie's saying, how does it move across the road? Does it kind of ooze? Well, you have to go to that Facebook page and have a look, but it's very interesting how it's described. And then, like we said, Katie is doing a film that she'll have out soon, and we'll get more details, which I think will be really fun. So look for that. That's coming.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
So have the film, is that the eyewitness film? Like someone filmed what they recorded going across a road?
Unfortunately, she didn't film it, but she got a hold of me, and I know her family, and they're very, very straightforward people. And I'm like, okay. God. When it's coming from this family, they know what you're saying.
Oh, got it. So that was the people you talked about before. Okay, got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she didn't want anybody to know because she's like, I'm afraid people are going to judge me. I'm like, I totally get it.
It happens all the time in this work. We hear it too.
Yep.
So Moopy's saying this is a teaser. Yes, it is a teaser. It's so that you check back in about a week and have a look at this film so you can hear all about it, because I think it'll be really interesting. Which just got me off my train of thought here. Oh, so this rover that you have to go underneath the water, you said it's really murky, but have you caught anything at all this summer on there that's interesting?
I haven't. So I've been working with it and just kind of going underwater. It's been a test, basically. So it's basically it's like going on the water and just like looking around. So I want to catch something, but it takes time.
Mm-hmm. Of course, as does everything. So of all the equipment that you have, what is your favorite tool in your toolbox in your search for champ?
Oh, gosh, good question. Let's see. I would say the hydrophone, just to listen for the sounds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've gotten echolocation multiple times. I've gotten fish sonar, you name it. But for some reason, that hydrophone seems to be the best.
It is cool. We like We like the hydrophones. You know, they use those a lot.
You know, it's like, you can't compare that to this sound. You can't compare that to that sound.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love hydrophones. I also read somewhere that you're going to have champ tours next summer, maybe. What does that entail? Are you going to bring people out there to look for champ?
Yeah, that's kind of a new thing for me. So I basically want to bring people out to look for champ, share my passion, and just going out in the water and you know, I'll teach them how to put the hydrophone in and listen. Because mm-hmm. I want people to go from when I was a kid and say, okay, this is what I want to do. You know?
Yeah.
It's different, but it's from my heart, you know? And I want people to appreciate what I do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think it would be phenomenal, a phenomenal thing to do, you know?
Well, so, and what a fun experience for people, yeah. too, to just be able to go out on the lake, you know, and do it in a different way that maybe, you know, instead of just a boating trip, this is something totally unique. So I would think it would be kind of a cool draw for people, especially that are visiting, you know, from somewhere else that can go and do something like that. So that's pretty cool. And like mm-hmm. you said, educate them, too.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, and people just want to know, like, you know, squatchers, for example, you know, we often have people say, well, do you ever bring people out in the field? And, you know, we always say no. And here's why, because the dangers are, there's just too many dangers to bring people out in the woods that aren't used to being out in the woods. You know, they could fall, they could break their leg, they could do all kinds of things, you know. So we don't do that. But I think that would be awesome to go out on the boat with you. You know, that would just be a really fun thing to do. And I don't know. I think it's necessarily dangerous unless, you know, Champ comes out and gets mad and decides to go on attack.
That would be tough. Yeah.
Yeah. But I
like, I see this, the scene of Jaws is coming to my head where you're there on the side, it comes up alongside of the boat and chomps the boat. Like, that would be bad.
That would
but if it didn't do that, it would be really exciting.
Yeah.
And probably wouldn't do it considering everything, you know, how many times you've been out there and it hasn't happened. So you're probably safe.
I don't think you have to worry. Although I got to say, I did hear from an eyewitness here in Minnesota that talked about a lake monster up in Leech Lake. And he said he was in a canoe and this creature came up beside and kind of rolled the canoe a little bit. And it was a big kind of serpent-like creature with bumps and a head and a tail. And he said, I will never go out on that lake again. And I you know.
How long ago did that happen?
I talked to him probably 4 or 5 years ago at Bigfoot Days, and it had been a few years then, you know, and he's like, I haven't been out since, and I, let me tell you, I won't go out again.
Agreed. So, I'd pass out if that's something, if something like that happened to me, I would pass out, and they'd have to come find me.
Yeah. So, I think it would be, and you know, they did research on Lake Pepin, where there was, they had divers go down, Katie, and I don't know if you know about this, and I've never seen the actual footage, but it was for some TV show, and they saw something, and the divers came back up, and they almost went into, they were like shocked, and they said there was something down there, and they were like in a whirlwind. They were terrified. They said they would never go down in that lake again, you know, and people who have seen whatever it is out in Lake Pepin all say the same thing. Many of them will not go out in the lake. They won't have anything to do with the lake again. So,
well, you know, what are you making up? Because I don't know about Lake Pepin because I've never been there, but I would have to say that there's a lot of crap going on there because you have the Mississippi River coming in.
Yes, yes.
You know, a lot of stuff coming in. I don't doubt my mind. I mean, I know what's here in Lake Champlain. Mm-hmm. Absolutely amazing. But, I mean, Lake Pepin, sure.
Yep.
I mean, I would honestly, here's my three theories. Lake Champlain, ta-da, number one, as far as America's Loch Ness Monster, as far as doing the stuff with Loch Ness, that'd be number two, maybe. But Lake Pepin, I think that's a big deal because there's a lot of stuff flowing in.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff flowing in.
Well, it is just really Lake Pepin is a widening of the Mississippi River, is what it is. So, yeah, direct access to the sea, right? But then so do the Great Lakes, right? They're just, you know, just down and around from the sea.
Same thing with here, like, they're all related, and there's a lot of stuff up there, and I really, truly believe that there's some significant sightings that people are really, truly seeing, and I'm not saying that they're nuts. I really believe that they're seeing what they're seeing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think they're absolutely fucking crackpots or whatever, but I really believe that they're seeing something in those areas of water, and I believe that they're very similar to Champ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. So I'm just going to give a plug right now to our sister show or our sibling show, which is The Calling Radio Show. And that is on tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard. And they're talking about what does the thinning of the veil bring? Oh, we talk about that quite a lot on our show. So we'll have to see what they have to say. So that's tomorrow night at 8 p.m. right here on the Para X Radio Network. Katie, is there anything that you would like to, you know, preview a little bit other than this new little film that you have coming out in the next week about the sighting of that this gal had?
I think basically my book or something like that, but that can come later. I can tell you the link.
And then you have a document. Is the documentary out yet, the Trost named? I can't remember how
Oh, no, not yet, but it's going to be out in April.
April. Okay, and that's going to be, is that going to be on YouTube or is it going to be on regular TV or where? Okay. And so look for that. And then, of course, Katie is just, you know, doing research all the time, you know, like her Facebook pages, because those are just so awesome, all of them. And wow. Okay, Heidi, do you have any other questions? I know we've kind of covered a wide ranging bunch of subjects or questions here.
It's definitely go and check out the social media pages, because it is pretty interesting, just, you know, the day-to-day too. I think it's interesting to see Katie, the day-to-day life of a researcher. I mean, this is your full-time job, so this isn't something that you just do evenings, weekends, or when you have a few extra hours. I mean, this is your whole career, so
pretty much it's really interesting unless there's something else going on.
Right. And that's what I think is so interesting with this. And so it's an interesting story to follow, because this is your life. This isn't, because there's so many people where you're, you know, Stephanie, you and I come from paranormal background, and a lot of people in the paranormal background, this is what they do as a hobby, or evenings, weekends, or when they're not working or whatever. And so it's interesting to follow someone who this is their livelihood. This is what they do. So it's really interesting.
Yeah. So in that vein, we have a few minutes left. So tell us, what is your typical day? What do you do throughout the typical day that you're out researching in the summer? And actually, you do this all year round, except for winter, really, correct? Or do you do this in winter, too?
I do it in winter, too. So a little bit aspect. So I go out at 5 a.m. I go out to the lake, and I throw a fishing line in, and I kind of watch and go fishing at the same time, but I fish and look for Champ at the same time. It's not easy because I'm not paying attention to Champ. So that's why I don't fish a lot of times. But I look out and I appreciate the nature, the aspect, the whole love of life beyond Champ. And I love it. I really do. So I have a little bit of aspect for each side.
And then after that, then do you go out on the boat and you use all your equipment and see what you can find?
Yeah, I have my boat, which is Kelpie 2, and I go out on her, and I string her along, and I do sonar scans, and I work my butt off. So I do a lot of research on Kelpie too.
Which is your new boat, which is fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah. That's so awesome. So you just got it going on up there, and I love it. can I just say, I think it's, you're doing a phenomenal job, and wow, you need to get into more cryptid conferences for sure. You know, how about CryptidCon? I think you need to be part of that whole thing.
Well, thank you. I'll try.
Yeah, you know, I should, you know, who is in charge of that is, can't think of his name now, sorry. He used to be on Ghost Adventures. But anyway, I've talked to him many times. You know, Squatchers used to be there. We were there a few times, you know, and it's a good conference. And I think you would be a really good addition to that. That would be a good one for you. I'll have to see what I can do for information for you, and maybe I can get a hold of
him. That'd be fine. I kind of talked to him, but he was kind of like, oh, I'll keep you in mind. That was about it. So, like, oh, darn it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's hard. I mean, it's really hard with the girl stuff, you know?
Yes. That just is, you know, not good. But you've been at, now, are they still doing the conferences up at Lauren's, the cryptozoology conference, Lauren Coleman?
Not that I know of, because I was there for one aspect.
Okay. And I don't think they've had them since COVID hit, so maybe next year they'll start with those. But, yeah, no, Nick Brock.
The good thing is that I'm going to do one out in Vegas pretty soon, so that's cool.
Oh, awesome. Well, we'll look for you there. But, hey, listen, Katie, we got to, the music is going. It's time for us to go. So thank you so much for being on. It was so fun to catch up with you tonight.
Oh, thank you so much, and I love you guys so much.
We love you too. And hey, everyone, thanks for listening to the show tonight. And for the troops out there, wherever you are in the world, thank you for protecting us. Thank you for your service. We appreciate you so much.
Absolutely. And everybody in the chat room, thank you for joining us and your questions. Anybody out there listening, wherever you are, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for hosting us, Para X Radio Network. We love being here. And Sarge, our most amazing producer. We can't do this without you. So thank you as well. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, everyone.